You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
So, we are in Philippians chapter 4, and we're finishing out the book of Philippians. We've been in, this is the 23rd week in this little four-chapter book. It's on page 1086. If you don't have a Bible, there's a blue one somewhere around you. That's our gift to you. So grab that. It's on page 1086 there. And just a few verses as we close it out. Now let me see. Got all bent out of shape. The guys put up this thing, and some of you are like, oh, no. Oh, no. It's that ladder. It's that ladder. Well, you know. And somebody say, well, what's the ladder? Why is it so scary? It's funny. I haven't used this for years. Homer, it's been in my barn, up in the barn, all dusty, where we stored it because people got tired of running into it around here. And so we had to kind of spruce it up a little bit, brought it back. But half of the staff had never seen this. I was kind of shocked. So it's been a while since I brought it out. But it's a huge blessing, all right? It's a huge blessing. It's to many, scary to others. You'll find out why. So I'm speaking today on my giving and my receiving. My giving and my receiving. And we're in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 15 is where we'll pick it up. Are you there? Say, I'm there. All right. And you Philippians yourselves now know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I brought it to you, and then when I left Macedonia, when I left you, no church entered into partnership, I circled that, entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. And then he says, hey, I'm not hinting for another offering. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I underlined that, the fruit that increases to your credit. I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Remember the guy that came 800 miles from that church in Philippi to Rome where Paul's in prison, bringing with him this offering. I received from him the gifts you sent, and they were a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And then he lays this out. And my God will supply how many needs? All your needs, every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then he closes the little letter, because that's what it was, a letter to this church in Philippi. Closes it out. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. He had won a lot of people who worked for Caesar. A lot of the guards he was chained to, you know, they couldn't get away while he's witnessing to them. And so, and now they're brothers and sisters in Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now, if you came, you know, you saw this when it was being put up, and you might have said, oh man, Wilma, he's going to talk about giving. There's that ladder. That ladder is, you know, about giving. Why do preachers always preach about giving? Here's one reason. It's all the way through the Bible. It's all the way through the Bible. And you might say, well, nobody wants to hear about that. People will leave. Like that one rich young ruler left when he came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus knew that his idol was his money. And Jesus basically said, get rid of it. You know, get rid of it. Come and follow me. Give it all away. And the dude left. The dude got mad, got hurt, got sad, and left. And so some of you might today get hurt, get mad, get sad, leave, never come back. But I'm to preach the whole word of God, amen? So, nobody wants to hear it, John, somebody might say. You'd be surprised. Sitting all around you are folks who get it. They get it. They didn't used to get it, but then somehow they got it through the teaching and the preaching of God's word, who right now are going, well, it's about time he brought that letter back out. Thought he was going soft on us. So, I as a pastor am commanded from God to preach the whole of God's truth, all of it, not just part of it. And here's Paul on that, Acts 20, 26 through 27. bring it up here. Paul says, therefore, I protest to you today. He's laying it out. This is Paul. I'm not responsible for the, what's this word? Say it louder. Ruin of any one of you. I'm not responsible for you if you ruin your lives. Why? Because I've not shrunk from declaring to you God's whole truth. So, there are some folks who have their finances, a lot of Christians' finances are in ruins because their pastor is scared to touch on this thing of money and giving. And so therefore, their people don't know, they don't understand biblical principles on that. And so then their lives, you know, they just do what the world does, and they are in debt up to their eyeballs, and they are basically ruined, at least in that portion of their life. But God's command to me, God's command to any pastor is this. It's in the Message paraphrase. Tell, and again, these are imperatives in the Greek, tell or command. So Timothy here, young Timothy, is being commanded by old Paul. He says, I command you to command the rich people. All right, that's the context. Tell, command those rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves, so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell or command them. Paul says, I'm commanding you to command them to go after God who piles on all the riches that we could ever manage to do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. Say extravagantly generous. If they do that, here's a promise, if they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life. God says, I'm keeping the books in heaven. We saw that last week. He is. And so, you know, he tracks our giving, our investing in his kingdom. And he gives interest or gives nothing depending on how we do that. So I want you to listen to me. God wants to get involved in your total financial picture. And he wants to bless you in your finances. And we want to invest in that. We want to invest in that. So here's a truth bomb. I want you to write this down. I hope you're taking notes. A truth bomb. Every giving message is also a getting message. Every getting or giving message is also a getting message. This isn't one of those name it, claim it type things that some of you see TV preachers do. No. Because there's times when God takes you, you know, these TV preachers are like, well, God wants you rich and he wants you never sick and all that stuff. And if you just send money to my ministry, then you're going to be healed of all your, no. That guy's a scoundrel. Paul had issues. Paul had financial, you know, issues, hardships. He talked about that last week. And he had sickness that he wrestled with. Some of his ministry team members, he left in different cities because they were sick and he couldn't heal them. And I think that Paul, I'd stack Paul up against any TV evangelist, amen? So, it wasn't very convincing, amen? All right. So every giving message is really also a getting message. It's God's way of doing things, his way of blessing us kids. So this isn't just the giving ladder, this is also the getting ladder. It is, and we'll show you what it's all about here in a little bit. So he closes out this life-changing letter, this is a little four-chapter letter, to these Philippians, this little church, blue-collar church, going through tough times themselves. And he talks to them, and he ends with all the topics he could have chosen. He ends with this thing of money, of giving and getting, ministry needs, those type things. In verse 15, he said, hey, you guys, at the beginning of the gospel, I brought the gospel, and then when I left, you know, I planted this church. But no church entered into partnership. With me, no church. I had all these other churches that I had planted all over the place, all over Europe and Asia, all these churches, but none of them helped me out except for you folks, you little blue-collar, not doing very well financially church in giving and in receiving, you only. Then he says, I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied. Having received from Epaphroditus the gifts, you sent a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about giving. Very good. Giving. All right? Giving. Paul says, thank you for your giving. But then he closes out with that amazing classic passage, the next verse, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So we talked about giving, but this is what? Getting. All right? They go hand in hand. Giving and then getting. Every giving message, if it's done right, if it's scriptural, is also a getting message. You say, well, John, there's so many statements in the Word of God, and I don't know the Word of God, you know, real well about it, but I know it talks about money. I mean, Jesus talked about money more than he talked about hell. I mean, and heaven. There's just a ton of these passages, and, you know, how can I synthesize them? Can you help me out? Happy to. So what's the foundational? First two services blew it. Let's see if somebody got it, okay? Pressure's on. It's an easy answer. The foundational scripture in the Bible on giving. Holler it out. Go. Somebody say Malachi? Everybody says Malachi. No. Huh? Come on. Who said that? Say it louder. Who is it? Say it loud. John 3:16. Look at you guys. Woo! Did you cheat? All right. John 3:16. It's a foundational passage on giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave because he loved. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. You can't. Foundational passage. God didn't owe us anything, but yet he gives us everything. That is the foundational passage, that I deserve hell. You deserve hell. We all deserve hell because we're sinners. And so God, he could have just been totally just and said, well, you know, guess I'll start over with a new batch. But instead, he said, I'm going to send my son, God the Son, down to live a perfect sinless life, die on a cross for their sins, be in the grave for 3 days and three nights for their sins, rise from the dead for their, over, you know, victorious over their sins. And on that cross, he will have purchased their salvation, which is a free gift, giving. So that's the foundation. Everything rises on the foundation of John 3:16. When we think, I give with, we love because he first loved us. I give because he first gave to me. It's a no-brainer. So out of that, so you take that foundational passage and then you take all the other passages on the finances, on giving in the Bible. And I don't know how many of you, you're into health. You're a health person. God love you. We try. So if you're into health, you probably in the morning, you know, you don't get a bunch of cornflakes because that's processed crap, right? Hate to tell you if you didn't know that. All right, some of you ate this morning. You didn't help yourself. All right, you're going to die. So you get some of the best stuff that you can, all right, if you're a health person, many of you. And you got yourself this big blender. It's the multi-blender. It's expensive, you know, $175 blender. And you put in whey protein. And you put in a banana, organic. You put in blueberries, right? And other seeds and nuts and thing. And what do? You go, hit frappe. And then you pour it. And then you drink it down. So what we're doing is we're taking all of the truths and the texts and the scriptures on giving, and we're throwing them into Jesus' blender. And I'm going to pour out four delicious truths for you. Okay? Are you ready? How many?
Four.
If you're taking notes, and I hope you are, keep up. Here we go. Truth number one. My giving ought to be my priority. Say priority. If you're a child of God, giving should be your top shelf financial priority. It should. Because God is a giving God. You're going to heaven because God is a giving God. God isn't a miserly God. Yeah, miserly God might have said, well, you know, I don't want you to go to hell, but I don't want to have to send Jesus to die for you to get you to heaven. So I tell you what, we'll get you, you know, those Catholics talk about purgatory. Let's just do purgatory for everybody. That would have sucked, right? So, no, he did the whole deal. He gave the best, his son, which is his point. So giving should be top shelf financial priority. But many of you know what we do? God's folks, we give him the leftovers. The leftovers. That's what we do. But then we many times usually find there's nothing left over to give him. It's just the way we are, humans. Why is it that we think, man, if I just had a $2 raise, John, if I had a $2 an hour raise, then I would be able to get my head above the water, and it would be wonderful, and I'd have all my bills and my budget met, and I could give to God. So we don't get a $2 an hour raise. You get a $5 an hour raise. Woohoo! 6 months from now, guess what? If I could just get another $2 an hour raise. Because why? Your lifestyle has gone up to or past your new financial ceiling. So there's no leftovers. But rightly prioritized, if I prioritize my giving, put it first. Say first. Everything else takes its proper place behind God. It's the principle in the Bible of the first fruits. The principle of the first fruits. It's all through the Bible. I've got it here in 2 Chronicles when they're taking an offering to make the temple. He says here, as soon as the order went out, sorry, hey, we're going to have an offering, the Israelites generously gave. How'd they give? Generously gave the what? Oh, first fruits of their grain. And they were an agrarian society, you know, a bunch of farmers and sheep ranchers. So they gave all these things that they are producing, basically stuff that's coming from their income, their paychecks. They brought a great amount. And what does he say? What is it, John? It's a what? A tithe of how much? Everything. A tithe. Now, some of you, love you, you think you tithe and you only tip. Pastor John, I'm bringing my tithe. I'm bringing my tithe. And I don't, you know, unless you tell me the amount, I'm not going to go and check on it. The tip, now I could. Every pastor, not every pastor, but all the executives and myself, we have access. What do you have access to? Our giving. Because the Bible says where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. I check the staff's giving. I have Sarah sent me a thing every quarterly to make sure our staff's heart is right. Because they are being paid from the tithes of God's people. Yeah. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's the first indicator, usually, of your heart having an issue. So if a staff member, praise God, they don't, because they know they're being checked. But if we're going to bring you on as a deacon, guess what? We're checking your giving. I'm not going to have a financial deacon who sits there and looks at the finances of the church. And in a lot of churches, they are not even tithers, not even close. So yeah, we check that. It's amazing to me how you can come in my office and tell me all the amazing, horrible stuff in your life. All about, you know, the affairs and the drug abuse and all this stuff, but can't tell the preacher about your giving because that's too personal. Why? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Some of you need to grab a hold of that. Grab a hold of that, all right? So, you set aside his portion first, but a tithe, principle of the first fruits. Now, oh, by the way, what is a tithe? What is a tithe? Since some of you think you know what it is, but maybe you don't, huh? 10%, all right? The word tithe just means 10%. 10% of what? Gross. Another place, it says all your increase, all of it, 10% of gross. Some of you think you're tithing and you just learned, like in the first service, some of you say, oh, wow, ooh, thought I was tithing, guess I'm not, because I was tithing on net after Uncle Sam got his. But the biblical thing is first fruits, it's all your increase. So, how many, it set aside his portion first, is what he's saying, first fruits. Now, how do you do that? Here's one easy way to do it. Because for years, I like to put the check in the boxes on the back. We don't do offering plates. We haven't for 15, 20 years. And I had pastor friends saying, oh man, your offerings are going to go down. Ours didn't. Ours actually went up. All right? But I put my check in the back. And, you know, I like, there's kind of like a, you know, I wrote it out as kind of like an act of worship. And some of you are like that. And that's cool. But sometimes, I hate to admit this to you, I get to church on Sunday after payday, and I forgot my checkbook. I'm like, oh, dear Lord. You know, so I have to tithe on Monday or Tuesday. But it wasn't then first fruits because we went through Wendy's. So now what do you do? What many of you do, most of you do in your for the important things in your life, you automate them. Automate the important. Write that down. Automate the important. If it's really important, you do it. Most of us in this room, your mortgage or whatever, your car payment, your insurance payment, you don't want to have it late. So what do? You automate it. So automate the important. You can do it through our website. Automate the important. I had a guy ask me how to do it on the way out in the first service. Automate the important. Because if it is important, automate that thing. Automation communicates prioritization. Set aside his portion first. It's a matter of discipline. It's a matter of decision. It's a decision you need to make. It's a matter of devotion. Let me help you to think it out. How many of you are going to have guests this Thanksgiving at your house? How many of you? Man, you, dear Lord, I have a very selfish church. Every service, I've got like 5 hands. All right, let me ask this. All right, here we go. No, Shelby says no. No, his daughter's. That's it. All right, so where was I at? Okay, all right. How many of you are going somewhere to a family at Thanksgiving? Okay, look at you greedy people. All right, but, all right. So imagine with me, Jesus, you know, he's going to do the second coming thing. It's going to be exciting, but he decides to do a dry run, okay? He's going to do a dry run and just come and check things out. And so he announces it, and he comes, and he's going to go all over the world at different dates. And he's going to be in Hampton Roads around Thanksgiving. And so the newspaper, they get a hold of it, you know, and all the promo artists, they say, all right, well, you know, enter a raffle to have Thanksgiving with Jesus, to have Jesus in your house. I mean, that's awesome. And you enter, you know, 1 million people from Hampton Roads enter. Guess what? You win. Boom. Ah, it's amazing. Guess what you do? Well, first of all, you clean that house like you've never cleaned it before. You get rid of all those things you don't want Jesus to see. And the big day arrives and Jesus comes, you know, and you're a church person, you know the Bible a little bit. And so here, and you invite all of your friends and all your relatives over, even Uncle Merle, you know, Uncle Merle, he kind of horns his way in. And so Jesus comes, he shows up on time, but you also remembered, because you know your Bible, it's time to feed, and you're like, well, I want to feed Jesus first. But then you're like, wait a second, Jesus did that one parable, you know, the first will be last. So what should I do? You know, should I put him last? But then I know you have a, we're going to have a buffet. Y'all serve yourself. And so you say, you announce it, you know, because Jesus taught us, and it's great to have Jesus here today. Jesus taught us that the first should be last and all. And so we're just going to we're going to have a buffet. You just, you know, get in line and everybody's waiting, you know, but you would think everybody would wait, but your families, they're like a bunch of ravenous, hungry badgers. And so they all just, you know, all the kids, everybody's up there. And so Jesus, you know, and he's like, and he's like, oh, go ahead. No, go ahead. And you were there. And he's like, no, please go ahead. So you go ahead and you aren't even thinking by this time. And you look at Jesus, he's standing there, and you realize you took the last of the turkey and the gravy and the stuffing and the last corn on the cob. But he's like, no, go ahead. Now you feel really bad. You're blowing this thing big time. And so you quickly excuse yourself. You set your plate down, and you run into the kitchen, and you start digging through the refrigerator. And you're way in the back. There's that crusty peanut butter jelly sandwich that Billy didn't eat last week. You pull it out, you pop it in the microwave for 30 seconds, and you bring it out to Jesus on your finest china. And you say, here, Jesus, you know, it's the thought that counts, isn't it? That's exactly how many of us in this room treat Jesus every week. Every week. That's how we roll. That's how we're rolling in our giving or lack thereof. Giving him the scraps, not obeying his word. And some of you don't know his word. You're going to hear it today, okay? So my giving should be what? A priority. Say priority. All right. Giving truth number 2. Are you keeping up? Yes. My giving ought to be based on a percentage. Here's that tithe thingy coming at you. You go through the Bible, you'll find percentage giving everywhere. And it always, always, always has as its minimum the tithe. The tithe means what? 10% of what? Gross. Hebrews 7. In the New Testament, Abraham, talking about Abraham, gave him a tenth. This NIV translates it a tenth, which really means a tithe of how much? Say it louder. Everything. Give him a tenth of everything. Question, all right? Don't answer if you don't know. Was Abraham rich or poor? He was rich. He was filthy, stinking rich. Fun fact. You know who in here has the hardest time actually tithing? You folks who are well off. By the way, according to the world standards, this is true, every single one of you in here is rich, according to the world standards. According to USA standards, not every one of you is rich, okay? But you're doing all of us. There's not one of us that has to go without food ever in America. There's not. But you folks who are well off by our standards, we look at you. You know, we see you drive in the parking lot. We're driving our old beater car. You're driving that brand new, beautiful looking vehicle. It's shiny with spinners. So, you know, you're rich. Okay, you're rich. But many of you rich folks, you have the hardest time tithing. And especially if you trusted Jesus later in life. You know what's the easiest time to learn tithing? And there's parents, listen to me. When your kids are young and you just start ingraining it in them, teaching them the truth of the Word of God. Some of you won't do it because you don't do it. And you know that one day they're going to realize you're a hypocrite. So fix that. Your kids need to see you tithing, need to understand it. But just teaching them, hey, little Billy, and I know some people that do it with little mason jars. All right, grandma gave you $10. Cool. All right, so you have a dollar for three jars. What are they? Giving, saving, spending, right? Three jars. You teach them to save, you teach them to tithe. Tithe first, then saving, and then spending. Otherwise, little Billy's going to blow through that $10 and ask you for 10 more. Amen? And that's why many of you were never taught this, so it's hard for you. But many rich folks, now we have some folks in here who it would be called rich, who blow it away, and praise God for you. But many of them, many times, they give, but they don't do percentage-based giving because now, based on their salary, that would be. So I had a painting business in college because I didn't want to starve. It was a bad economy back in Indiana. And so, I'm just learning painting. I just had to. Started painting out of an old beater Nova. Not even the nice Nova, it's an old beater Nova. And I would put a ladder rack on top of it. I looked like the biggest redneck painter in the world, coming down the road with my Nova and my ladders. But I was, trying to feed my family. And so I'm asking these other painters when I interacted with them, hey, man, tell me, give me the down low on how to paint. And they, multiple of them told me, whatever you do, stay away from rich folks. Paint to middle class, upper middle class, stay away from the rich folks. The upper class. And especially, they said, don't offend anybody here, stay away especially from the lawyers. That's what they said. Why? Because it's hard getting paid from rich folks because they hold on to their money really tight. And God looks down from heaven at some of us and says, yeah, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Now, some of you folks who consider yourselves poor, you're amening in your heart right now. You're like, get those rich people. Get them. Yeah, but some of you are doing the exact same thing and thinking you have an excuse for it. What do you mean? Jesus, Mark 12, sitting across from the offering box. Jesus is watching the offering ought to be done in private. Back then, they didn't do it in private. They had a big old brass thing outside the temple that would go into the temple, and you would come there, and it'd be a line of folks, and this brass thing, like a big funnel, and you'd bring out your big bag of coins, and, the more it clinkety clink, the better you love God. People like, oh my goodness, oh. Clinkety clink, 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 ooh. Jesus is watching all this. He's pointing it out to his disciples. Hey, fellas, pay attention. Here comes this little lady, one poor widow. She's a widow. Came up and put in two small coins, a measly 2 cents. Ting, ting. Jesus called his disciples. Dudes, says this truth. The truth is that this poor widow gave more than to the collection than all of the others put together. Why? They all gave what they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what? Extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all. And Jesus didn't go over and say, no. Here, let me give you 2 pennies. Let me cover that for you, girl. He didn't do that. She practiced percentage-based giving. What was her percent? 100%. She gave 100%. Now, we're not called in Scripture to give 100% unless the Holy Spirit's telling you. And obviously was this lady here, by the way. Jesus saw her giving. He bragged about it. And I guarantee you, because I know the heart of Jesus, he didn't just let her go out and starve after that, but she's had some amazing blessings. Amen? We're just never told about them in Scripture. Every time I preach on tithing, I get this. So save your email, okay? Tithing, don't you know, John, oh, I'm disappointed in you. Tithing is Old Testament. It's law. You're preaching law, John. I thought you knew better than that. Wrong you are. The story of Jesus, it's in the Gospels. Is that New Testament or Old Testament? New Testament, right? And Matthew 23, this is Jesus' words. You should tithe. You should what? Who said this? Jesus. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Whoa. So there's more important things than tithing? Yes. Yes, just because you're tithing doesn't mean, you know, oh, I'm going to get blessed of God. I'm going to tithe, you know, and but, you know, I got my, you know, extra girlfriend that my wife doesn't know about in Virginia Beach, but I'm a tither, so he's going to bless me. No, he doesn't. God's not an idiot, right? So there are more important things than tithing. Tithing's important. It's not the most important, but neither is it the least important. God wants to get involved in your finances. He does, and you need to understand what this thing is. And by the way, tithing was before the law, Abraham, and in the law, Moses, and after the law, mentioned in the New Testament 8 times. So I've had people, it's never even mentioned in the New Testament. Yes, it is. You don't know your Bible. 8 times. 7 of those are positive. You should tithe, yes. 1 of those is negative. Oh, see, there's a negative. You know what the negative was? The dude came into the temple. Jesus talking about the parable. This dude, rich dude, came into the temple. And and also the same time, this little dude, this tax collector dude came in the temple. They're both coming in the temple. And the tax collector, he just feels so bad because he knows he's a sinner. He can't even look up to God. He's like, Lord, please forgive me. I'm a sinful man. And this rich dude comes in all cocky, you know. And he's like, Lord, I see that fellow over there, that tax collector, the dirty beggar. I tell you what, I'm glad you didn't make me like that, dude. Lord, here's what I do. I fast once a day, once a week. I fast a whole day, Lord, sunrise to sun up. And then I give a tithe of all I possess, Lord. All I possess, I give a tithe. And Jesus said, that dude is the one that's going to hell, the tither. The other dude, the one that's repenting, he's going to heaven. He's justified. So that's the only negative connotation in the New Testament. So you should tithe, yes, but don't neglect the more important things. Here's what it comes down to. Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is what? Say it louder. Not just optional. Optional? No. It's a sin. If you know to do it and you fail to do it, then you're sinning. It's not my words. It's not my words. John, I know I should give, but stop. God says no buts. No stinking buts. Well, what do I do then? Start today. You start today. You begin today. You get right today. You quit doing wrong today. You start getting God involved in your financial picture today. Here's the thing. God, and this is so true. This is not a preacher statement. God can do more with you and God involved in 90% than you can do by yourself with 100%. Some of you just don't believe in God. That's it. You really don't. You believe in some idea, ethereal idea that there's a God and you visit his house once a week, but you don't really believe in God because your finances prove it. Oh, we couldn't make it if we started tithing. God says, I promise you, I'm going to start working in your life in an amazing way. And I'm not saying that you're going to get filthy rich. I'm not saying that you're not going to face crises, but I am saying that you can do more with me partnering with you with 90% than you doing it all with 100% how you've been doing so far. But some of us, we just don't believe the scripture or God. Begin today. Fix your financial strategy. Well, John, do you give? Yeah, we do. I'm not going to ask you to do something I don't do. I'd be the ultimate hypocrite. Robin and I give a tithe on gross. Years ago, I'm like, I need to make sure, and I told Sarah, I want to know every cent that I cost the church, which is not just my income before taxes, but it's also, at that time, healthcare. what it cost the church to buy healthcare. And that was like $1,200 a month. And bonuses and whatever else. Those things, and I wrapped them all together and figured that out, and then we did 10%, a little bit above 10% off of those. And not only that, then we started the 25 by 35 missions giving, so we're giving sacrificially above for that. I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't. So giving truth number three. Say number three. All right, kind of quiet in here. My giving should be progressive, and I'm not talking about the insurance company. Some of you are like, I give to Progressive. No, you got it wrong. My giving should be progressive. We expect to grow in our Bible knowledge, right? We kind of hopefully never say, well, I know all the Bible. I can quit reading it, right? We grow in it. We learn. I learn something. Every time I preach to you, I'm learning. I'm probably learning more than you are. So we're growing in our Bible knowledge. Robinette expects me to grow as a husband, to be a better husband. We've been married 45 years, and on the 45th anniversary, I didn't say, baby, here's your anniversary present, and I just want to announce that I've totally learned you, totally understand you. Now I am the husband that you need me to be. No, she, there's a whole bunch that I need to grow in. Don't amen, girl. And so, you know, I'm to be growing until I die. So if I'm a growing Christian, I'll be learning how to understand the Bible better. Some of you got baptized. You're like, well, Pastor John, you talked about the steps, taking the steps. You know, the next step, and we're all about next steps here. Take your next spiritual step. Well, Pastor John, I took my first spiritual step. I trusted Jesus. Hallelujah. And then, Pastor John, last time you did baptisms, I got baptized. I was holding out, but I finally got baptized. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me ask you folks who've been baptized, which are a whole bunch of you. How many of you have been baptized by immersion after salvation? Okay, the majority of you. All right, let me ask you this. When you got baptized, did your wallet get baptized too? Some of us, you know what we're like? We're like those Roman soldiers in 313 AD. Constantine sees this vision in this sign, conquer, supposedly. This vision of Jesus, or the cross. And so Constantine, who was persecuting Christians, now like, oh no, I'm a Christian now. Hey, we're all pro-Christians. So he forced all of his soldiers, Roman soldiers, to get baptized. And how'd they do it though? They did it kind of awkwardly. They did it by immersion. So they got that right. But every single one of those Roman soldiers' stories told, they held out their right arm out of the water. Why? Because I got to use this arm to swing my sword and kill people. So this is like my secular arm. So I'm going to get baptized everywhere except my arm. You know what some of you did? I need to look closer at the baptisms. When you're up there, your hand was out and you're holding your wallet up. I'm baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Some of you, we need to have a rebaptism here. All of you who don't get this thing yet, you need to go in and just take your wallet, just stick it in your pants where it's supposed to go, and just be totally immersed to the glory of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say oh me. So, why do we think that there's a ceiling in our giving growth? Why do we think so? Many of us, you know, it takes no faith to tithe anymore. When we first started, it did. I mean, when we first started tithing, Robin and I, newly married couple in the Navy at E5, I think I was, and, you know, not making much money at all, new baby right away. I mean, we couldn't afford to tithe. It had to be by faith. Many of you are still there. Okay, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But others of you, you now, God has been blessing you and working in your finances, and now it comes out, it's you automated the important, hallelujah. And so you got it. You're like, man, I got it there, and there's no faith involved really anymore in it. You don't even feel it. But look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, just as you excel, say excel. In everything, say everything. Any type of faith, speech, knowledge, complete earnestness, your love for us. See that you also excel, say also excel, in this grace of giving. So just as you excel in all these other things, growing spiritually, you need to excel, continue to grow in this grace of giving. So now let me throw this out real quick. All right, I've heard people like, and they try to do end arounds. You know who you are. try to find loopholes into this. Well, I tell you what, I'm just going to tithe my time. Just going to tithe my time. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to tithe. I'm not into tithe. God's okay if I tithe my time. First of all, you're a dirty liar. Because you ain't, at least I don't see you around here 16.8 hours a week. So that's a tithe of your time, okay? Secondly, the Lord says tithe on all of your increase. So if your finances increase, then you need to tithe on that, all right? So don't look for those loopholes, people. All right, say no loopholes. No loopholes. All right, here's what he's talking about. You've been wondering about this. People are like, get to the ladder, please, for the love of God. All right, so we're about first steps. So this first time giver, say first time giver. Some of you are here, you've never given. Some of you have been here for years and you've never given. How do you know? Because we do get a report. When you do give first time, shouldn't tell you all this inside baseball. I get a little note, first time givers. And we send a note, hey. But we also have FTA to FTG, first time attender to first time giver. You know what the average is here at Point Harbor, first time attender to first time giver? 600 and some days. That's almost 2 years, average. Now, hopefully you came in, like we also have some people like, you come in the first Sunday, you're slamming, boom, boom, hallelujah to you, all right? But first time, you give the first time, say first time. All right, now that could be, you know, $1 or $1,000, but it's first time giving. But then do not stop. Next step would be what? Intentional, say intentional. All right, so this is, all right, I'm going to give every payday. I'm going to give every payday, all right? So you're intentionally giving. You're going to make it a part of your budget, all right? But you're not there yet. You're not even on blessing territory yet, all right? Because really the blessing territory, the line is drawn at tithing. That's the promised blessing. Now, God can, as a good father, he could probably, you know, and he probably does bless you in this. I started this way. I'll tell you about it in a second. I started this way first time, come in as a young sailor, you know, and everything was taken care of. And here, have some food. Oh, we got a buffet afterwards. Hallelujah. You don't need to bring anything. Awesome. And I just brought an appetite. That's what the old ladies just say. Bring an appetite. I got that, girl. So I didn't give any, but I finally, Lord, you know, I need to give something. And so I gave like a 20. And then I started every payday. But then I realized I need to start tithing. You're like, okay, John, well, I'm going to do first time. And cool. All right. Or I've already given once. I'm going to make it intentional. Awesome. But let me tell you, because you did that, John. Yeah, I did. But also, when I did these, I wasn't a Christian. All right, I was lost, never trusted Jesus. I was religious, but I had not trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, thought I had. And soon after I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior, I learned this thing of tithing, and we've been tithing ever since. All right, so let me just, you know, throw down that ramification. So, and by the way, this is the blessing promised here, no blessing promised here. God can bless if he wants to. Now, all right, so tithing. Some of you, you're tithers, and you think, man, whoo, I have made it. I'm a tither. No. Excel. Next step, generous. Say generous. Generous is anything above a tithe. Tithe is commanded, expected. This is 11% up, all right? And so some of you tithers, you need to step it up and say, all right, it takes faith. Oh, it's a little scary. Cool. One way you can do that, this is up to you, but I would recommend it, is the 25 by 35. See, when you give to 25 by 35, you ought to be tithing first, because this is the thing that really pays for the ministries so that we can sustain these 25 churches. We are paying the salary and really all the costs of these churches. And so that's above. If we try to do it totally out of budget, then that will kill us. We can't do that. This has to be above that. So tithing goes to budget, 25 by 35. I would recommend that. But then you're not done. What do you mean I'm not done, John? You got another level. Extravagant. Say extravagant. Extravagant. Say it louder. All right, extravagant. That's just blowing it out of the water. You're like, and some of you will never make that. I would love to make that. I don't know if I'll make that. It's a goal. That's like, I've known of people in ministry over the years. They say, I don't want to do the tithing. I don't believe in tithing. And you start, whoa, what do you mean? And they're like, I want to flip tithing. What do you mean flip tithing? I want to live on 10% and give God 90%. And usually, typically, they're business people. right? That are able to do that at this point, at that juncture in life, and they've established themselves and they've weaned themselves down, still living a, you know, amazing lifestyle, but giving to God, supporting God's work 90%. You know, I don't know that I'd ever get there. Now, we're going to be talking about this. This could also be legacy giving. All right, we're going to be talking about that next week. Next week, we got a special speaker. Down here, remember, will a man rob God? Guess what? You're still robbing God. Just ain't robbing him as much. All right? And you know, saying, well, hey, last week I robbed 10 banks. This week I've only robbed 5. You're making progress. But it's like, I didn't say this yet, I don't think. Talk about Marlboros. Have I talked about Marlboros yet? Okay, good. All right. Marlboros. Used to love me some Marlboros. When I was in the Navy. Smoked for 3 years. Marlboro Reds. You know, I was that cowboy. And then I decided I needed to quit because I was 18 years old and, you know, I was getting out of breath, running up the ship's ladders. I'm like, this is stupid. I'm going to quit. But it was hard. So I got these water pick filters. Anybody remember water pick filters? You put them on cigarettes and then, you know, it would let air in and you know, you had 3 of them, bigger holes, more air. I tried that, didn't work. You know, tried, you know, other things that didn't work. Finally, how did I quit smoking cigarettes? What? Cold turkey. Just cold turkey. Some of you, all right, this is kind of like you and my Marlboros. You're smoking less. Just go cold turkey and go to the blessing side, go to the blessing level and watch what God does. All right. Keep it up. All right. Look at the time. We have to hurry. I blame the choir. Number four. My giving is a chance for me to prove God. My giving is a chance for me to prove God. Here's your Malachi. In your face, Malachi, ever since that this is God talking to Israel, the time of your forefathers, you've turned away from my decrees, not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you. They're like, well, we were coming to, you know, worship. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? How do you rob God? In tithes and offerings. That's how you're ripping me off. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Here's how you fix that. Bring the whole tithe. How much of the tithe? The whole tithe, which is what? Of what? Into the storehouse. That's where they were fed spiritually. Today would be the church. That there may be food in my house so that we can do ministry. And then he says, test me. Prove me in this. The only time that God says to test him. The other time you try to test God, he'll whack you. This time he says, I double dog dare you. Double dog dare. Come on. Says the Lord Almighty. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, you will not have room enough for it. It's a principle from the Word of God on giving that God says, I double dog dare you. Test me, test me, test me. Every giving message is also a getting message. Well, John, you work here at Point Harbor, so maybe you're a little bit biased. Okay, I grant you that. I am. But listen to Jason and Ashley Remington then, because they ain't on staff, they ain't on salary.
I've been coming to Point Harbor for 7 years.
Jason, the same, came with her?
We had our son, and we wanted him to grow up in a church family, so we tried a few different churches, and this one was, we felt very connected here.
I think we were just looking and stumbled in here and sat down, and James went to the nursery fine. Well, not fine, but he went.
He made it lively.
But yeah, the very first message, it was, we walked out just kind of like, man, that's exactly what I needed to hear right now. And then, so we came back the next week, and again, it was just, that makes so much sense, and it just 2 times in a row. And then after that, it was like, okay, that's where we're going.
Thank you.
We were super impressed with the children's ministry, and we felt like we are coming here and using their services, and we want to contribute to it because we love what they do for our community, and we want to, if we're going to take part of these services, we want to contribute to them.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't too long after we first started coming here, and like I said, those first two messages just hit home, and so the more we came, it was like, uh-oh, okay, let's dive into this. So we started and haven't looked back. This church is a testament to the giving and how it's working. I mean, you look at the excellent staff that's around here that are behind the scenes out in front. You look at the vibrance, the growth. I mean, the continued adding more services, the community outreach, the expansion to other communities, and even overseas globally. So I mean, yeah, it's the church is growing and it's doing amazing things. So it's a very tangible way that you can demonstrate, you know, the kind of honoring God with for all the resources that He has given you us. So I mean, we look at that and yeah, it's certainly a testament of your faith that regardless of what happens, if you do it, He will provide. We have certainly had our fair share of things happen, and I mean, AC systems, you know, those are like $10,000 these days, and yeah. So when it hits, especially in summer, mm-hmm. I mean, we had one of our vehicles, the engine blew up. I mean, it was completely dead.
That was a pretty cool story.
Yeah.
The engine blew up heading up a mountain, which thank goodness it started right before we got to the tough mountain part. But we somehow found one person who was willing to come get us, take us up the mountain. But again, the initial verdict was engine shot, you're gonna be out of luck. But we got to the mountain safely. And so with James, we decided to use this as a good opportunity to show him our faith. So when we made it to where we were staying safely, we said a little prayer and just thanked God that we didn't break down on the dangerous part, because it could have been way more scary, because we also had Jack with us, who was only 4 weeks old. Jason convinced me we should take a vacation with a 4 week old. And so we said our prayer for letting us arrive safely, and next thing we know, we find out that there was a class action on our vehicle and we got a free engine.
Oh. Essentially brand new, and they gave us a rental car for the whole period.
There was no monetary damage at all. They paid for everything.
Yeah.
And then we use that as, James, see what happens? We just were grateful for what God provided to us. We didn't even consider for a second, even when we thought, oh my gosh, new vehicle, new baby, not what we were planning for, but it worked out in a way I never could have seen coming.
Yeah, so it's set up to automatically come out. He'll get his first, and we'll deal with whatever the fallout is, and it'll all work out. And I mean, I guess as far as a fear of that, I'd say, you know, that's an opportunity for you to test your faith and put faith that God will take care of you.
Amen. Give it up for them, the Remingtons. I love that testimony of God's provision. You know, they're giving faithfully, and then boom, the engine blows, and then God shows up, and He is faithful. Amen. Real quick, Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply, my Father God will supply every need of yours, His kids, according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Some of us need to start believing. But more than that, we need to start being empowered. You're like, oh, Pastor John, I don't know, I can't do that. No kidding, right? This is you. You're a little weak, and you know, your finances are weak. I get that, all right? I get that. We all live that. But we can't, it doesn't make sense. Well, it's 90% better than 100%. When you get God involved and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says He gives us the desire and He gives us the power to do that. I can do how many things? All things through Him who strengthens me. You get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. as far as your giving goes, I mean, God then starts partnering with you. All right, this is not some televangelist talk. This is scripture. So God says, all right, yeah, it's not going to make sense like this. You're going to be fearing. You ain't going to have the strength. Satan's going to come and kick sand in your face. But when you are full of the Spirit of God, he gives you his desires and his power. Now, so hear Paul, hear Jesus. You giving to God should be your first financial priority. Is it? It should be a percentage of your income, the tithe. He already lays it out. Do you? It should be progressive. Are you climbing that generosity ladder in your life? Are you growing in your giving? And then your giving will let you prove God in your life. Some of you have never seen God really come through because you've never had to trust him. And you know who else needs to hear it, see it? Probably more than you, your kids or your grandkids. Our kids, Johnny, I think one reason he's in the ministry to this day is because as a young 5-6-year-old kid, he saw God answering our prayers when we were tithing. And so we would remind God, Lord, we're tithers. We're trying to study for ministry, but we don't have, and I'm not getting paid on this house that I'm painting for 2 weeks. And over and over and over, that little boy's prayers would be answered by a powerful God, and God drove faith into his soul and heart because God answered his prayers. Your kids need to see that. Prove God in their life. Giving card. Take it out. Giving card. Right there in front of you. Grab it real quick. Grab it quick. Wave it at me. It's in the rack somewhere around you. Wave. Oh, nobody waving over here. Okay, we got one. All right, a slow revival coming. Slow revival. All right, over here, kind of in that corner, there's a bunch of pagans. All right. Reggie, wave it. You're waving a handful of nothing, brother. There you go. All right. The giving card, real quick. Here's what it looks like if you don't have one. So I don't want you to turn this in this week. I want you to wait another. I want you to pray 2 weeks, I told you. Some of you, this first time here, pray. I don't want my will. I don't want your will. I want God's will. All right, so then you write, okay, I'm going to start giving regularly. All right, you're tracking up here. Or I'm going to start tithing, hallelujah. I'm going to go past that blessing line. Or I'm going to start giving above that 25 by 35 or above that. You let the Holy Spirit tell you that. Write your name, email. This is not a pledge card, all right, so don't ghost us. But this is so that we can pray for you. I want to pray for you. I will be praying for you. Some of you, it's scary. Any new spiritual step is scary, all right? I want this to be God-driven in your life. God-driven, Holy Spirit-filled in your life. And if you're struggling with it, and I appreciate that you are, and I have been there, I want to join you in prayer on this. So especially as you're struggling about what to put on this or if to put anything on this, I want you to send me an email, pastorjohn@pointharbor.com. I'll pray for you, all right? Now, don't send me a War and Peace novel, but send me just, hey, pray for me, whatever. It could be anonymous if you want it to be anonymous. And I promise this week I'll be praying for you that God drives your heart in this thing for his will, not mine or yours. Because whenever you go into new levels, there's always going to be the test. Tithing, engine blows. All right? Opportunity for God to prove himself. Somebody said it this way. New levels, new devils. Yeah. Satan's not going to let you take a step, a big step spiritually without trying to push back. Don't be surprised at that. That's going to come. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. All right. Now, real quickly, also we want to help you because you're like, but John, I'm totally in debt. I get that, right? Most of us are. But we have this Financial Peace University we teach starting November 6th. I want you to sign up for that. It is, I think, 5 or 6 sessions on Thursday nights. It is amazing stuff to help you to understand biblical principles to get you out of debt, to get you making wise financial decisions. It's not all about giving. There's one session on giving, all right? But you basically heard that. But it's different things to help you to make sound financial decisions, to get yourself out of debt. Some of us were never trained this when we grew up. So sign up for that. That's coming up. There'll be more information. This next week, we got Tim here, Tim Dietrich. He was a pastor, but he's also now involved in Mortarstone, a Christian company. It's a philanthropic advisor, really talking. He's not going to really be talking about this. He's going to be talking about this, all right? Those of you my age, around my age and older, looking forward to, okay, what do I do? How can I leave a legacy, not just to my family, but also, to my faith? And there's some really cool things. I don't understand all of it, honestly. So I'm going to be sitting in. So sign up for one of those sessions, workshop. I said workout, but that wasn't it. Workshops on Saturday, on Sunday, same exact thing. So you can sign up for that on this little doohickey here, or just see Ashley, Sarah, Tom, don't see me, and because they'll direct you rightly. Send us an email. We'll get you signed up, and we've got some openings there, but there's also some one-on-ones. And by the way, he's not trying to sell anything. We're paying this. Point Harbor is paying for this because we want God's people to, instead of what's going to go to the federal government, if you could have your kids get what you want them to get, and instead of federal government, go to Jesus, and there's a way to do that, that's just good stewardship, amen? So find that out. Don't ask me because I don't know. All right. Now, lastly, to close out the Philippians series, we want to give you a gift. All right? Talked about giving. We want to give to you something. Pastor John, what are you going to give? Every single one of you, I'm going to give you a glove. On the way out, I want you to take it. It's not to work in your garden with. Don't try to, get two of them. I had one husband and wife say, hey, I got a left and she got a right. Like, you sneaky dogs. I want you to put this somewhere where you see it. I want it to be a reminder that, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then you can do and you can walk life as God intended. But otherwise, you're just kind of like all of us are, wimpy, can't do anything for Christ. Cool thing, on those gloves, they're made in China. Sorry. We got a deal. Be a good steward of God's money. It says, there's Chinese writing on it. I didn't pay any attention. We're just, we got them all, got a big deal on them. But one of our financial deacons, he's an engineer, so he's like, he said, I had to check it out to make sure it didn't say, like, death to America or something. So he Googled it, Google Translate it. In Chinese, on your gloves, it means gathering fortune or collecting blessings. Look what God did.